Well, my name is Jonathan Dine. I am the Libertarian candidate for the United States Senate. However, I want to speak to everybody today, not as a candidate for this office, but like many Americans, a concerned American citizen who's worried about the direction this country's heading in. I'm worried about the $16 trillion debt. I'm worried that our government spends $1 trillion more than it takes in, and it does take in a lot of money. We collect over $2 trillion in taxes every year. I'm also worried about the endless wars that are putting our young men and women, service women, in harm's way and needlessly inflating the price of gas around the country. I'm also worried about the growing police state and the erosion of our civil liberties and personal freedoms here at home. You know, America really is on the brink of a fiscal disaster, and both parties are to blame with their reckless tax, borrow, and spend policies. I don't feel either of my opponents are serious about reducing or balancing the budget or even reining in the reckless spending. The Democrats and Republicans have created this status quo, and I don't feel they intend to change it. You know, I'm tired of the constant fighting of the Republicans and Democrats. It feels like the us versus them mentality has just grown so hostile that beating the other team is more important than finding solutions to America's problems. You know, I think Americans have kind of seen through the charade of the Democrats and Republicans and are ready to really find a fresh approach to the problems that plague us. I believe that libertarian solutions were instrumental in the birth of this nation, and they can help usher us back into a time of peace and prosperity and freedom. As a libertarian senator, I'm socially liberal and fiscally conservative. I want the government to stay out of people's personal lives. I support marriage equality as well as the legalization of marijuana. I want the government to be a good steward of tax dollars. I'm tired of the reckless spending. I will vote no to earmarks, and I'll propose a balanced budget and advocate on the part of a balanced budget amendment. Now is the time to start voting for a libertarian candidate as opposed to the Republicans and Democrats. Now is the time to tell the government that you're tired of the games and you're ready to find a real solution. So please stand with me today and vote libertarian.
All right, Jonathan, and here's your first question. Just today, the heads of Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and Citigroup sent a letter urging the President and Congress to avoid the looming tax hikes and spending cuts that we call the fiscal cliff. Which of your stated positions are you prepared to compromise to avoid this gridlock?
You know, I think we're in this position because we continue to compromise and we continue to kick the can down the road. You know, if Congress does not act, there will be a trigger of some $1.2 trillion cuts in 10 years. So it's not anything very drastic. I fundamentally believe that we need to reduce the size and scope of government, and I think it's about time we have an adult conversation about government spending and our fiscal priorities. You know, the U.S. government is now spending or borrowing 43 cents out of every dollar it spends. You know, this is just, it's not sustainable. Just in the next few 5 years, we'll have to pay up $5 trillion on the debt on the interest alone. You know, I believe that we need to balance the budget now. We need to make some serious decisions, and we need to start the debate about actually reforming the big three, Medicare, Medicaid, and military spending. But it's time that we stop kicking the can down the road. We need to address this crisis, and we need to have an adult conversation without playing the fear and blame game.
All right, Jonathan, and your second question. What will the national press say if one of your opponents wins?
Well, I could just see the headlines now. Missouri voters vote to keep the status quo. Re-elect or elect career politician to U.S. Senate. I think what would be even better to see would be what they would say if I were elected as opposed to my opponents. You know, I could see headlines like Missouri voters usher in first libertarian senator, someone who seeks to balance budget and lower taxes. I think it'd be a much more interesting story for the national press to actually have some career politicians who are beat playing their own game. I think it would really show that the people of Missouri are tired of the same old politics and that both parties aren't really serious about getting the job done.
And the third question. The federal wind production tax credit has been in place for 20 years, but it's set to expire at the end of this year. Some groups estimate that up to 2,000 Missouri jobs are supported by this credit. Will you vote to renew it? And what role do you see for wind and other renewable energy industries in Missouri's economy?
You know, I actually would not vote to renew it. The tax credit costs about $1 billion a year, and it usually covers about 30% of the cost of a facility or someone starting a wind turbine or whatnot. But in 20 years, the tax credit hasn't produced a sustainable effort. Wind power is still more expensive than a cheaper and more available natural gas. And I feel that the private industries should be taking on the frontier of creating new and renewable energy. You look at the work that Red Bull or Virgin Mobile are doing in the areas of space exploration. But I think when people are looking to actually, necessity is the mother of invention. So when we really are going to be pressed, people are going to find these newer renewable sources of energy. And I think it's going to come from the private sector. And I don't feel it should be the government's responsibility to take money from the taxpayer and pick winners or losers.
Your fourth question. The Clayton Chamber of Commerce represents small businesses that had to make difficult decisions, like cutting the labor force, holding and reducing their salaries, and cutting back on expenses during the recent economic crisis. It's clear that most governmental agencies did not make the same decisions. Do you have a real plan for the federal government to cut back in a similar manner?
I think this is a very important question. Just recently we all saw the Government Service Administration scandal, spending $800,000 on a luxury conference, training in Vegas. And, that amount of money is relatively small in the scope of the federal government, but it really it illustrates how the spending culture is with government agencies and their disregard for the taxpayers. I think it's really time to ask the questions that do we need the government service agencies or other large, bloated government agencies? I don't think so. I would actually move to eliminate many of these TSA, GSA, the Department of Homeland Security. For the TSA, for example, some executives actually receive over $5 million in pay for yearly work. I feel I would actually create legislation to cap federal pay. I don't think federal employees should be making over $1 million. You look at how bloated even the TSA is, it now employs 62,000 people, and 4,000 of those are just at the Washington, D.C. headquarters with an average salary of $100,000. And to me, I don't feel they've helped make us any safer. It's more security theater, and it infringes on the constitutional rights of the American citizens. So I think it's time we get some of the heads rolling and provide some accountability and transparency in government spending. They've had a blank check for far too long, and it illustrates in some of the recent scandals we've seen, there's almost no limit to the amount they're willing to spend on somebody else's dime.
And your next question. Congressman Aiken homeschooled his children, while Senator McCaskill sent her children to private school. Would you speak about your commitment to improving public school education in Missouri?
I think education is very important, but I really feel that our current system is too rigid. It doesn't help. It's not flexible enough to kind of meet the demands of a new emerging science and technology. I want to illustrate a point with the country of Estonia now educates their first graders in computer programming and code. And they've actually had 100% success rate in teaching these children how to computer program. And what they're doing is they're making the kids more producers of technology instead of consumers like we do here. I really think we need to open up the education system and allow some innovation. I see a future where kids can learn different subjects at different paces. I think if a one-size-fits-all is just it's kind of starting to fail a lot of children. So I also favor more school choice for parents. I think we need to be able to have some sort of say in what school our kids go to or where our tax dollars are spent. And I think that we really need to allow more creativity when it comes to thinking outside of the box and how we're going to compete globally in the new future.
And now I'm going to ask you some questions that were written in by the audience members. Here's your first. I was born in Mexico and immigrated to the U.S. at the age of 4. Since then, I've kept a close eye on the immigration policy and the working conditions of immigrants. If you were elected, how will you influence these policies?
Well, I truly believe that America is a nation of immigrants, and that's what has made America strong. We're the beacon of light for many people. You know, people go, oh, we're going to move away. We're going to America. We don't have anything, but we're going to go there. We're going to work hard, and we're going to build something for ourselves. So I think immigration should really be about work. I think we should make it as easy as possible for somebody to get a work visa. You know, I think people would be willing to line up and submit the proper documentation. And a work visa, you know, entails a background check, allows them to get documentation, allows them to pay applicable taxes. But anybody who wants to come here and work should be allowed to do so. I think that'll actually make a better competitive workforce. And I feel, you know, it's only the humane and right thing to do. As a libertarian, I support a system where it makes it much more efficient and streamlined for immigration. But I think we also need to address the welfare issue and make it about work and not welfare, and not allow immigrants to receive social services or government handouts, because that would just incentivize that instead of work. So I truly feel that immigrants usually excel with a very hard work ethic, and I welcome immigrants who want to come to this country and build something up for themselves.
What misconception do you want to clarify about yourself?
I feel there's always a lot of common misconceptions about just libertarians in general. You know, I feel the public feels that libertarians are anarchists. Maybe they don't want any government at all, you know, which is just not the case. As a libertarian, I believe the proper role of government is to protect you from force or fraud or predatory practices from large corporations, but it shouldn't be your master. It should be your servant. It should be a night watchman, so to speak, looking out for you, but not telling you what you can do. You know, and traditionally, you know, speaking with a very broad stroke, Democrats usually want the government to kind of be your mommy, to take care of you, to provide for you, and the Republicans want the government to be your daddy. They want to tell you what you can do, what's right and wrong. And libertarians just want the government to treat you like an adult. You know, we want you to be able to make the decisions for yourself, you know, and live with the consequences of those decisions. So I think a lot of times we're perceived as not wanting any government involvement, but we still want the government there. You know, we still want police, fire, courts, and roads.
What's your policy on stem cell research?
I think stem cell research is important. It helps find new cures to all sorts of different diseases affecting humans, like bone marrow transplants for people with leukemia. There is just a variety of things that can help with. I think that medical research is very important if we're going to be able to continue to fight diseases that afflict us.
What criteria will you use to confirm a Supreme Court nominee?
You know, I would look for if they'd be willing to stand up for both your personal liberties and your economic freedom. I think for far too long the Supreme Court has sided with big government, intrusions in your freedom, looking at recent sidings on the drug war, which I think are unconstitutional. You know, it doesn't feel like the actual Supreme Court judges are standing up for the citizens of America anymore. So I would look for someone like Judge Andrew Napolitano, with a libertarian leaning, somebody who will not be afraid to stand up for civil liberties, stand up against the Patriot Act, stand up to the National Defense Authorization Act, and, you know, who would believe that spying on the American citizens is unconstitutional, as well as someone who's going to believe in the powers of the government or the Constitution to restrict the government from some of the outrageous spending. So I want someone who's willing to stand up for that economic freedom as well. So definitely looking for more of a libertarian justice.
How would you preserve Medicare for current and future retirees? And I guess in your case, would you preserve Medicare for current and future retirees?
Yes, I would. I think there's several different options, but I think we need to start discussing them. You know, a lot of times we hear, you know, what the other party is going to do, or they're going to cut this, or they're going to cut that. But the fact of the matter is we have about 45 million people on Medicare now. That number is going to double within about 10 years. At our current projected growth in spending, it's just not going to be sustainable. So we need to find out some way to alter or reform the program. So some of the options I would talk about would be something like block granting it to the states, allowing the states to give health care to those over 55. And also maybe even the federal government has a bunch of assets, real estate, billions of dollars in assets. We could sell the assets, put it in a trust, and use that for current Medicare, and then transfer the responsibility to the states. You know, and allowing the states to take care of health care for the elderly, I think they're more closer to the will of the people, more responsive, and the people are more likely to get more of a dollar or worth of services.
What's your position on the Israeli-Iran situation?
You know, I think that they are both sovereign nations and that they both should probably come to a resolution together. You know, I am not for invading Iran. I am not for going to war with Iran. I feel if you think gas prices are expensive now, wait till we invade Iran. You know, you can look at some of the political posturing and warmongering that some of the Republicans and Democrats are to blame for, and I think it has a direct reflection on the fuel prices here in America. You have, once we started bombing Libya, there was almost an immediate spike in gasoline prices just because of a theoretical disruption of supply that never actually occurred. So I think we need to look at some of these negative consequences with, you know, the wars and invasions of other countries. You know, I think it's time that we support our troops and bring them home. I'm all for a strong national defense, but I think defense is the optimum word, not offense, not nation building. You know, and I think it's time we let our troops rest, especially given the sobering fact that more American servicemen have lost their lives to their own hands than they have to actual enemy combatants. So I couldn't even imagine the amount of pressure we put on these young men and women, but I think it's time we give them a rest, let them come home with their families, and strengthen our defense here at home.
And Jonathan, now you have 3 minutes for your closing remarks.
You know, for decades, we've heard Republicans and Democrats offer up solutions to America's problems, and unfortunately, our problems have only gotten worse. More and more intrusions into our business, our personal lives. More of our money is taken into taxes. The government continues to spend our money recklessly. And neither party seems to be really willing to tackle and confront these issues. Now, I think, is the time for more credibility and acceptance to be given to third-party and libertarian candidates. Third-party candidates might not come up with completely new stances, but we are more likely to represent a combination of views and think outside the box. Like many of you, I am just an ordinary American. I see life from the ground level. I don't look it down at it, don't have to ask anybody what it's like. I live it and feel it every day. I have an open mind, and I will listen to the people of this state. When I vote on bills or propose legislation, I'm going to remember the people I represent, not a party or a lobbyist. Supporting me and my candidacy means supporting a genuinely smaller government, lower tax level, and more personal freedom across the board. We do not need politicians telling us what we can, how much money we can keep, who we can love, what we can do with our own bodies. So if you vote for me, I promise to keep the Republicans out of your bedroom and the Democrats out of your wallet. And I will stand up for your personal freedom. So be libertarian with me November 6th.